Part 3. Wandering in Brazilian Forest. February 29, 1832. The day has passed delightfully. Delight itself, however, is a weak term to express the feelings of a naturalist who, for the first time, has been wandering by himself in a Brazilian forest. Among the multitude of striking objects, the general luxuriance of the vegetation bears away the victory. The elegance of the grasses, the novelty of the parasitical plants, the beauty of the flowers, the glossy green of the foliage, all tend to this end. A most paradoxical mixture of sound and silence pervades the shady parts of the wood. The noise from the insects is so loud that it may be heard even in a vessel anchored several hundred yards from the shore. Yet within the recesses of the forest a universal silence appears to reign. To a person fond of natural history, such a day as this brings with it a deeper pleasure than he ever can hope again to experience. After wandering about for some hours, I returned to the landing place, but before reaching it, I was overtaken by a tropical storm. I tried to find shelter under a tree which was so thick that it would never have been penetrated by common English rain, but here, in a couple of minutes, a little torrent flowed down the trunk. It is to this violence of the rain we must attribute the verdure at the bottom of the thickest woods. If the showers were like those of a colder climate, the greater part would be absorbed or evaporated before it reached the ground. I will not at present attempt to describe the gaudy scenery of this noble bay, because, in our homeward voyage, we called here a second time, and I shall then have occasion to remark on it. The geology of the surrounding country possesses little interest. Throughout the coast of Brazil, and certainly for a considerable space inland from the Rio Plata to Cape St. Roque, latitude 5 degrees south, a distance of more than 2,000 geographical miles, wherever solid rock occurs, it belongs to a granite formation. The circumstance of this enormous area being thus constituted of materials, which almost every geologist believes have been crystallized by the action of heat under pressure, gives rise to many curious reflections. Was this effect produced beneath the depths of a profound ocean? Or did a covering of strata formerly extend over it, which has since been removed? Can we believe that any power, action for a time short of infinity, could have denuded the granite over so many thousand square leagues?